Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning to all y'all on Blog Talk Radio. Good morning to all of y'all over there in the YouTube world. Good morning to everybody that might be with us on Facebook or Telegram or any place else you might find this. In the name of Jesus, we call you blessed. And today we're going to talk about some end times events and read some scripture and deal with some of the things that's going on today. Because this is the time of the end. And I want us to just be very focused and go right into it. So I'm not going to do much friendly talking as we would get ourselves all focused together. I want you to hit like, subscribe, and hit the bell so that you get notified every time we go live. Want you to hit the share button on this so that it can be shared immediately. In the mighty name of Jesus, I declare YouTube, you do not get in the way. Hang on just a second. Don't oppose us because that's not good for you. God said, I'll bless those who bless you. And then he said he's not going to bless the other folks. So be really good. There you go. YouTube's ready. Now, so let's pray and we'll get right into things. Now, we're going to be talking about Isaiah 17, Psalm 83, and Ezekiel 36 through 39. These are all end times events. Scriptures. And I'm going to play something from Hal Lindsey because Brother Hal was a very, very strong student of the Bible and of end time prophecy. Him and Dr. Sutton and Pat Robinson were always going at it together. They were great friends, even though they saw it differently. And Brother Dr. Sutton would talk about it in his teachings when you were with him there at his office. And he spoke very lovingly of Pat Robertson and Hal Lindsey. They were all of that same age in that same era. And I would imagine that all three of them had a camera crew in Israel on the Six-Day War. And all of them spent much time in Israel. And they were mighty men that moved on this earth. And I sure wish they were all still with us, filled with strength and life, because what a blessing that. Can you imagine the wisdom of Dr. Hilton Sutton alive right now talking to all these boys, straightening out all this stuff? In the name of Jesus, Father, I declare over every great man and woman of God that is alive today, that are in their 80s or approaching 90, give them supernatural health and strength. We want every one of them to still be alive in every denomination. May there be men and women of great renown and of great wisdom that live long all the way to the rapture and lead this generation and help it walk out of its mess that it's in. Mm-hmm. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Now, I've got a couple things I want to share with us, first of all, because I found some videos last night that were just amazing. And they were YouTube shorts or reels or whatever you call them. And I just want to play a couple of them for you because of the effect that they have. Now, I got to open this up a little bit. Where'd it go? There it is. No, that's not it. Hold on. Let me get down here. I'll find it. This was so amazing because there it is. Now, I'm going to share this from my phone so that you can see it. But soldiers who are celebrating right in the middle of all of this battle, all right? And they're praising God right in the middle of the battle, which is 2 Chronicles 20:20 is what you're supposed to be doing in every battle that you're in, is praise the Lord for the beauty of his holiness. And then God sets an ambushment against the enemy. All right? And we might read that, but let's do this. I'm on Zoom. Here we go. Share. Watch this. You're gonna enjoy these. I enjoy them. Sharing my screen right now. Are you ready? Start the broadcast right now. It's coming. There it is. Now we showed this last night. This is, they found a Torah going into one of the cities, and here they are having found the Torah. Now, this channel, which is on YouTube, it's called Living, hold on just a second here, Living El Sham, I don't know what it is, but Enhance Your Life, a network of shows to help enrich lives of Orthodox Jews and the world. Now, what's interesting about this is, whoops, I can't do anything there, I have to do it over here. All the different places where these guys are singing. Now watch this. They're singing the national anthem and they give blood for the war. We got something to learn from this situation right here. Yeah. Let's look at this one. They're singing for wounded troops in the hospital. They're like, we got some wounded troops over here. Let's go to the hospital and sing to them. How many of you like me? I think I'm going to move to Israel. Okay, I got to be careful what I say because God might say, oh, okay, we'll move you to Israel. This is a Jewish wedding. Wait. The young man being married, like all of the Jewish reservists, went to fight. And so she said, well, I'm going to come where you are and we're going to get married anyways. Right in the middle of the combat. Now, I love these guys. I have no idea what it is. And we've got communion with Coke and bread.
Yes, with the hospital had.
These are the Hasidic Jews singing in the hospital. Let's look at another one. Notice they're doing this with their weapon in their hand.
Oh my God. Yeah.
These men are still in battle. But what a beautiful testimony.
A few minutes ago, we were under a missile attack on the northern border of the state of Israel. We have one clear message. We won't let the enemy break us. We are getting stronger and we will fight until complete victory. Here, under those avocado trees, we want to wish you all of Am Israel, here in Israel, our families in Israel, all over the world, across the sea, Shabbat Shalom, Chodesh Tov, and Am Israel Chai. Shalom Aleichem,
I love it. I love it. Okay. It's not like this. I've had enough of that. But we got to get busy here with some more stuff. What's the whole point of showing you that? When you realize the verse of Scripture where God said, I will never again allow Israel to be overtaken, all of a sudden you realize God is pretty serious about his people.
Oh, yeah.
And there is a confidence level inside of them that the world has no idea. They don't understand how Israel can be so confident. Now, I want you to get the picture. If you haven't looked at a United States map in a while, Israel is the size of New Jersey, not Texas.
Yeah, isn't that something? Yeah.
New Jersey. That one little sliver out there by New York City. And the whole world has their eyes focused on Israel. And why do they have them focused on Israel? Because God is like saying, this is it. We're coming down to the end. Now, if you have never seen Dr. Oral Roberts' a program called The Wake Up Call. It was the last prophetic utterance that God gave Dr. Oral Roberts. And like, I think it was 2003. And in that prophetic word, maybe we'll play it again this week for everybody. I'm looking at my date saying, how can we get the book of Revelation done again? How can we get all this end times prophecy done again? So that people are awake. You got to be awake. We're so close to the end. You want everybody you know to be saying, wait, wake up, wake up. So this prophetic word from Dr. Oral Roberts is called the wake up call. And he said God told him he was going to put a wake up call on the earth. And it was going to be a sign to everybody, wake up out of your lukewarmness and begin to chase after the things of God. So some point this week, I'll be sharing that with us. And it's really interesting. He shared it with Kenneth Copeland and Richard Robert, his son. And they went to Brother Copeland's and put it on the Believer's Voice of Victory and recorded it there. And, of course, Dr. Roberts was Brother Copeland's father in the faith. And taught him what he knows about faith. And thank God for Kenneth and Gloria right now with news you can trust. My goodness, thank you, Jesus, that they were faithful. All through that time when people told them they were just chasing money and they were wicked people. But you know how much money it costs to run a TV that can play 24 hours a day? That's a lot of money. And they don't charge the men and women preaching on the Victory Channel, they don't charge them any money. No, every program is free of charge. They sow that into them, millions of dollars a year. And so thank God for Kenneth and Gloria being faithful. Now, I can tell I've already gone to preaching real hard because I'm starting to have to get this coat off. I haven't worn a coat now in quite a while. So you know it's always a good message when the preacher has to get up and take his coat off.
Morning, Sunday. Love ya.
Morning, Sunday. Morning, Brother Dan, Sister Gwen, Sister Phyllis.
Real quick while you're doing that, I'm going to read this from Amir on his thing. It says, many people keep asking me if this is the Ezekiel War. My answer is simple. It's not, but this war may very well pave the road to that of Ezekiel. Russia and Iran are already fully collaborating against Israel. Turkey is showing signs of comfort with Israel's actions in Gaza, and the world isn't getting safer. However, today's war is only the Israel versus Iranian proxies. That's all. So there's that.
That's all.
But it could.
But it could.
Do it, yeah.
Now, well, I had one more thing I was going to do. Oh, Hal Lindsey. So let's get ready and let's do this first. Let's read from our Bibles, Isaiah 17 and Psalm 83. Go with me to Isaiah 17. Isaiah 17. This is about Damascus. And then we'll read Psalm 83. And then we're going to play Brother Hal Lindsey. He's got about a 12-minute video. And then we're going to come back and talk about it a little bit. And then we're going to read a little bit more out of Ezekiel 36 through 39. And I would imagine by then, we're going to be well into our 1 hour of faith and communion. It's very interesting. I never thought myself that I would ever be someone that would teach on end times. I was seeing, Sister Lynn and I were seeing Mike Bickle, and we had a prayer meeting for Israel. So I've been going to a lot of prayer meetings for Israel. I want to see what everybody's saying. And it was somebody else stood up and said, how many of you feel like you're one of those that you would not be somebody that would talk much about what God's going to do in the end? And some people raise their hand. He says, well, no, don't raise your hand. Stand up. So they stood up. And he's like, no, don't sit down. Stand up. Stay standing. There's no shame here. Just stand up. All through the Bible, you are the one that God chose to use who said, well, I can't speak. I don't know anything. How could I do it? He's like, you're the ones that God wants to use to speak. Everywhere you go, listen to me, bring the subject up. Don't let it happen. Bring it up. Why? Because then you can begin to share some things and people will say, wait, you know something. You may not know it all. Bring them here and say, we got some great videos that will help you understand who God is and some great teaching. And they'll find a group of believers that's going to study the Word of God and walk with God all the way to the end. And no matter what happens, we're going to come out of this thing with great victory and great strength by the name of Jesus and by the blood of Jesus. Here we go. Isaiah 17. The burden against Damascus. This is a proclamation against Damascus from the prophet Isaiah, by the Holy Spirit of God. Verse 1, burden against Damascus. Damascus will cease from being a city, and it will be a ruinous heap. Now, that's a powerful statement because Damascus is one of the oldest cities of the world right now. The cities of Aroer are forsaken. They will be for flocks, which lie down, and no one will make them afraid. If it's for flocks, that means all the debris is gone and it's grazing area. That's a ways to go. The fortress also will cease from Ephraim, the king from Damascus, and the remnant of Syria, they will be as the glory of the children of Israel. Check it out. Says the Lord of hosts. Isaiah is prophesying by the Spirit, by the direction of Jesus. In that day it shall come to pass that the glory of Jacob will wane, and the fatness of his flesh will grow lean. He's on a diet plan, an exercise process. It shall be as the wane, as when the harvest gathers grain and reap the heads with his arm. It shall be as he who gathers heads of grain in the valley of Rephaim. Gleaning grapes will be left in it, like the shaking of an olive tree. Two or three olives at the top of the uttermost bough. Four or five in its midst, fruitful branches, says the Lord God of Israel. All right? And that day a man shall, I love this verse. And that day a man will look to his maker, and his eyes will have respect for the Holy One of Israel. Remember how many times I've preached to us that nature itself is going to be the most severe judge for many people? Mm-hmm. Why? Because man doesn't get it. Nature itself is going to judge people, because in Romans chapter 1, God says, the very movement of the sun, days going into days, seasons to seasons, the very daily function of this earth will judge you, because you can see God and his divine nature right there in nature, and it will judge you. And it says in Romans 1, professing to be wise, they became foolish. Don't be. Verse 8, I'm in Isaiah 6, 30, 17, 8. Slow down. Isaiah 17, 8. There. He will not look to the altars. The work of his hands he will not respect, what his fingers have made, nor the wooden images, nor the incense altars. And that day his strong city will be as a forsaken bough and an uppermost branch, which they left because of the children of Israel, and there will be desolation. Because you have forgotten the God of your salvation and have not been mindful of the rock of your stronghold, therefore you will plant pleasant plants, set out foreign seedlings, and the day you will make your plant to grow, in the morning you will make your seed to flourish, but the harvest will be a heap of ruins in the day of grief and the desperate sorrow. Multitude of many people who make a noise like the roar of a sea, and to the rushing of the nations that makes a rushing like the rushing of mighty waters. That's going on right now. A multitude of people around the world are saying death to Israel, death to Israel. Mm-hmm. And the Israeli troops are dancing in the battlefield. Guys, some people have said before, I wish I lived in Bible times so I could have seen God's hand. You're going to see God's hand in the not too distant future right now. You're going to see it. 13, the nations will rush like the rushing of many waters, but God will rebuke them and they will flee far away. All y'all that's gone to these nations, Hamas and Hezbollah, you are rebuked. Chased like the chaff of the mountains before the wind, like a rolling thing before the whirlwind. Then behold, at eventime, trouble. And before the morning, he is no more. This is the portion of those who plunder us, and the lot of those who rob us. They're plundering and robbing Israel. I keep looking the verse up. He that keepeth Israel will neither sleep nor slumber. See if you can help me with that verse. Let's go now to Psalm 83. Let's read this one. And then as soon as we're done with this, pay attention now. Don't let your mind go off.
Psalm 121:4.
He who keeps Israel. I'm going to write it down so I don't miss it. Never slumbers. All right, now watch. While we got this fresh in your mind, we're going to go straight to Hal Lindsey, and he's going to talk about Damascus and the modern-day cities that they represent. I was pausing and thinking for a moment. Here we go. Psalm 83, verse 1. Do not keep silent, O God. Do not hold your peace. Do not be still, O God. For behold, your enemies make a tumult, and those who hate you have lifted up their head. They have taken crafty counsel against your people and have consulted together against your sheltered ones. They have said, come, let us cut them off from being a nation, that the name of Israel may be remembered no more. You can see that on the news, on YouTube, on Facebook, every single day, people saying, death to Israel, death to Israel. Somebody played a Fox News clip. No, it wasn't Fox. It was NBC because it was whoever that one guy was. Anyway, after 9/11, and this NBC news anchor was stunned that the world was saying death to Israel, death to America, death to Israel, and they were rejoicing in the bombing of 9/11. Oh, how quickly they forgot that that enemy still exists today. And then NBC has turned and has completely joined the side of Hamas and Hezbollah.
Are you kidding?
Well, no, NBC, ABC, all of them will be on that side. Psalm 83, verse 5. They have consulted together with one consent. Look at this. They form a confederacy against you. The tents of Edom, the Ishmaelites, Moab, the Hagrites, Gebel, Ammon, and Amalek. Philistia with the inhabitants of Tyre. Assyria also has joined with them. They have helped the children of Lot. Selah. Don't be known with Lot, man. Lot got his serious butt kicking. 9. Deal with them as with Midian, as with Jabin at the brook Kishon, who perished at Endor, who became as refuse on the earth. That's pretty serious. Make their nobles like Oreb and Zeb. Yes, all their princes like Zeba and Zalmunna, who said, let us take for ourselves the pastures of God for a possession. And God's like, no. Oh, my God, make them like whirling dust, like the chaff before the wind. It said that in Isaiah 17, same thing, whirling dust, chaff before the wind. And the fire burns the woods, and as the flame sets the mountains on fire. 15, pursue them with your tempest. Frighten them with your storm. Fill their faces with shame, that they may seek your name. Why did he pray this? Fill their faces with shame. Look what it says. That they may seek your name, O Lord. He's standing in the gap for them, which is what you and I should be doing every single day. Pour out your wrath, God. Bring vengeance against those that come against Israel, and do it so they seek your face.
Yeah.
The man in the white robe, reveal yourself to the people of the world right now in Jesus' name. Verse 17, let them be confounded and dismayed forever. Yes, let them be put to shame and perish, that they may know that you, whose name alone is the Lord and the Most High over, not just Israel, over all the earth. over all the earth. Now, I want to stop and preach about that, but that ain't going to do anybody any good, because we got to just keep right on rocking and rolling here. So let me get back over here, and I'll get to my history. No, I'll get to my history, and we'll pull up Hal Lindsey. There we go. Really glad we found this process. Takes just a little bit to do it, but we're getting good at it. We're getting gooder and gooder. Here we go. Hal Lindsey talking about Isaiah 17 and Psalm 83.
Yesterday's prophecies, today's headlines.
Happened. All right. Let's try it again, because somehow we lost the share. It's all right. We're learning. Hal Lindsey.
Yesterday's prophecies, today's headlines. This is the Hal Lindsey Rhythm. As I have noted before, the city of Damascus remains the oldest continuously inhabited city on the face of the earth. In all its long history, it has never been totally destroyed. Yet Isaiah predicts that in the last days, Damascus will be totally annihilated in a matter of moments. He wrote, "The burden of Damascus, behold, Damascus is taken away from being a city, and it shall be a ruinous heap. And in that day, it shall come to pass that the glory of Jacob shall be made thin, and the fatness of his flesh shall wax lean." Isaiah's depiction of Damascus troubling Israel in the last days comes as at a time when the glory of Jacob, or Israel, is made very thin. Speaking in the same terms as this prophecy, if Israel's glory were any thinner, it would be transparent. The only condition under which Israel could survive the world's outrage at hitting Syria with a nuclear attack would be if Syria hit Israel first with weapons of mass destruction, such as biological, chemical, or nuclear weapons. That is exactly the kind of circumstances predicted in Isaiah chapter 17, verse 4. As I noted earlier, Syria has long-range missiles already armed with both chemical and straight at Israel. This ISIS report indicates that Assad either has or is developing nuclear warheads for use against Israel as well. Isaiah makes a further prediction about the terrible incident. "And behold, at eventide, trouble. And before the morning, he," meaning Damascus, "is no more. This is the portion of them that spoil us, and the lot of them that rob us." Many experts believe Israel has more than 200 nuclear weapons that could fulfill Isaiah's prophecy in about 60 seconds. The potential of a nuclear-armed Syria pulls Isaiah's prophecy right out of the Bible and plants it on the front pages of the daily newspapers. In the book of Psalms, number 83, is a plea for God's provision for Israel's security. In it, the psalmist identifies and lists Israel's traditional antagonist. He writes, "For they have consulted together with one consent. They are confederate against thee." In other words, they're not so much against Israel as they are against Israel's God that protects them in this prophecy in this psalm. Mm-hmm. The psalmist then identifies these enemies of God as the tents of Edom and the Ishmaelites, Moab and the Hagrites, Yebal, Ammon, and Amalek, Philistia with the inhabitants of Tyre. Assyria also has joined with them. They have helped the children of Lot. Edom is another name for Esau. Along with Ishmael, Esau is one of the principal forefathers of the Arab peoples. The Edomites and the Amalekites are descendants of Esau. The Moabites and Ammonites are the descendants of Lot. Moab is located in the Egyptian Sinai. Biblical Ammon is now Central Jordan. The Hagrites are descended through Hagar, the mother of Ishmael, and the Hagrites are all the people that sprung from her. Here's where these ancient people are today. The Hagrites represent modern-day Saudi Arabia, the heart and soul of Islam.
Wow.
Gebal is the city of Jebel in Lebanon. Amalek and the Philistines are the modern place in Gaza, home to Hamas, by the way. And Asher, today's Syria and Iraq, are to join in helping the children of Lot, which is Lebanon, home to Hezbollah. Syria is supplying and equipping Hezbollah and has styled itself protector of Lebanon and the children of Lot. Iraqi cities are racked with demonstrators demanding death to Israel and death to America as Israel's ally. The psalmist also identifies the particular target of the Edomite alliance. It's the choice pasture lands that surround Jerusalem. It is written, "Let us take for ourselves the pastures of God for a possession." So, what is the root cause of the Arab-Israeli war? It's possession of Jerusalem and the Temple Mount. But the goal is not just the conquest of Jerusalem simply as an Arab territorial possession. The goal is the conquest of God's holy mountain and God's holy city for an Islamic religious possession. The events outlined by this psalm are future events, as is the eventual and total destruction of Damascus. The first conflict in a series of wars is predicted in Psalms 83. This appears to be the same war foretold by Isaiah's burden of Damascus in chapter 17. And it is also the same war predicted by the often overlooked prophecy of Obadiah. This war particularly involves the descendants of Esau, which includes all the other Arab states surrounding Israel. However, it carefully excludes the non-Arab Muslim states of Iran and Turkey, and of course Pakistan and other nations around the world. They are included in the confederacy of the Muslim countries led by Persia, which is modern-day Iran, in the second and final attack to destroy Israel. It is predicted in Ezekiel chapters 38 and 39. This massive offensive includes the Persians and Turks that will fight under the command of the power from the uttermost north, which is Russia. But amazingly, this confederacy does not include the Arab Muslim states. Why? You see, they will have already been neutralized by the earlier Psalm 83 war.
Wow.
And even more amazing, Ezekiel names the people of modern Saudi Arabia as non-belligerent against the West and Israel at the time of this second war. Some view Ezekiel's Gog-Magog war and Psalm 83 war as two distinct events by some significant period of time. I believe it's correct. I also believe that the Bible supports the conclusion that the two events are also separated by the rapture of Christians out of this world. The assumption of an interval between the two wars is necessary because the Gog-Magog war takes place during a time of seeming peace and security within the state of Israel. The war predicted by Psalm 83, Isaiah 17, and Obadiah appears as a decisive battle in the 4,000-year-old intergenerational conflict between the descendants of Esau and Jacob. But the prophecies about the Psalms 83 war indicate that when it is over, so is the Arab threat to Israel. The threats of the Muslim Arab nations in Psalm 83 sound like what we're hearing on TV and radio broadcasts from Damascus, Lebanon, Gaza, Tehran. And what appears to be taking place is the development of both of these enemy alliances simultaneously. Unquestionably, The declared goal of both of these alliances is the annihilation of the state of Israel. Neither the Bible nor Jane's Defense Weekly would give the Arab people named in Psalm 83 even a slim chance of surviving intact if Israel launched a retaliatory nuclear strike on their cities. And this very plan already does exist. Its code name is the Samson option. Israel has codified this a long time ago. It's a strategy already planned, prepared, and ready to launch if Israel is clearly in danger of being overrun and destroyed. But I believe what is more likely to happen is this. Syria will launch weapons of mass destruction against Israel, and the other surrounding Arab nations will attack. In retaliation, Israel will launch a nuclear strike on Damascus that will utterly destroy it. Then Israel, facing overwhelming forces on all sides, will strike back with strategic neutron battlefield missiles at the massed armies. Neutron weapons are unique in that they can be built to only destroy life in a pre-calibrated radius, usually a radius of about 1 to 5 miles. This would destroy the bulk of the attacking forces without making the entire region unlivable. The Psalm 83 scenario leaves Israel with that no Arab enemies within immediate striking distance capable of launching another war thereafter. This possible scenario would allow for the unusual existence of Israel described in Ezekiel 38 as a land of unwalled villages.
Unwalled villages, yep.
The Israelis would be living in apparent peace and security. Now, though I can't be dogmatic on this interpretation, current events continue to suggest the finer details of the stages of war in the end times that eventually, in the mother of all wars, Armageddon. The important thing is that after such a horrible catastrophe, the world would be so terrified that they will cry out for a leader powerful enough to take over a one-world government and enforce peace. Just such a leader is predicted in Revelation chapter 13, verse 4. And it's at the very same time in history as we're looking at. So they worship the dragon, or Satan, who gave authority to the beast. And they worship the beast, saying, who is like the beast? Who is able to make war with him? The dragon is Satan, and the beast is the Antichrist. It's clear from the exclamation of praise to the Antichrist that the terrified world sees the Antichrist as the deliverer from the horrible war they have just witnessed in the destruction of Damascus. I believe this person is alive and standing in the wings somewhere in Europe right now.
Sure.
He is only waiting for God to permit him to be unveiled to the world. I'll be back in just a moment.
He's not coming back.
You're very gracious. And so, delight to be back with you. I'm in Psalm 83.
All right. Dallas Theological Seminary, Walter Kaiser. I don't know of him, but that's all right. Now, let's go to Ezekiel 38 and 39, and let's just simply read it. Let's let the Bible do the teaching that we need to learn right now. Now, before, pause me just a second. Here we go.
Phone that left.
Is that my phone that left?
Probably.
Participants. Yes.
You're still here. Yeah.
Yep, I'm here. I'm glad I didn't leave. Mm-hmm. Before I turned Hal Lindsey on, throughout this morning as I was, I heard Gary Smith from Living Word saying it. And I looked up Amir Safadi, and I looked up a couple other ones because I don't really remember hearing much about this battle in Damascus. But I remembered that verse out of Ezekiel that says they will be dwelling in unwalled cities. Well, right now, Israel's got some serious walls.
Mm-hmm.
But if God annihilates Lebanon, Syria, Iraq, Iran, Jordan. Gaza's almost gone already. The only one that's left is Egypt, and Egypt's got enough problems of their own. They're not going to come after them. Not in that. They're not in that list of names. Well, that neutralizes all of that Middle Eastern region, which gives Russia an absolute wide open, let's go in. And of course, the leader of Russia is going to say, I am the supreme leader. And you, now see, Hal Lindsey was not alive during the Ukraine situation. See, the Ukraine has been moved out of the way. That one piece of land that was in the way of Russia coming straight down, that's now belongs to Russia. So they can pour their troops right across them borders, right in there. Turkey won't stand in the way. Syria and Lebanon and Iraq, that's who's on the northern edge of Israel, they're not going to be in the way. Israel will be dwelling in peace. Now watch. This is why they're going to want the Antichrist. I've never seen it till this morning. And I was seeing it, and I was going to say it to you, but I'm like, well, let's let Hal Lindsey say it. All that area will be in peace. And it'll probably be a pretty severe battle. And all these mouths saying death to Israel will be quiet, saying, can you just let us live? You know, If there's any of them left. And now Russia's going to say, watch me. I'm going to set up and run the whole world right here. Some of them will right down in there. And that's when God, that's when the rapture happens. When Russia says, I'm coming in, that's when the rapture happens, because God's taking all of us off the earth, because he's got to take us off the earth before he wipes out Russia, because God wipes out Russia in one 24-hour period. Well, the world is going to, this is what I'm seeing today. The world's going to have seen the Middle East in horrible war, and all of a sudden peace comes. Here comes Russia, and Russia is wiped off, and the whole world's going to say, well, many around the world are going to say, is there anybody that can lead us? And the Antichrist will stand up. Now, I love the teaching of Dr. Hilton Sutton, because he teaches the Antichrist never gets control of the whole world. America is really not seen in end time prophecy. The Antichrist sets up his headquarters in Europe, and then eventually to Jerusalem. Because at the end, the two false prophets will be in the streets of Jerusalem saying, yeah, you have 1,260 days left, 1,259 days left. You have 1,258 days left. You have 1,200, and they'll try to kill them, and they can use fire, and they're going to wipe them out. So from the moment those two witnesses stand up in the street and begin to prophesy against the Antichrist, there's nothing anybody can do. And the whole world that is against God is going to be like, can somebody just kill them? And they won't be able to, because God is going to send them in. All right? And what an amazing thing that's going to be. You and I are in heaven for the 7 years of tribulation. The rapture of the church happens at the beginning of the tribulation when Russia comes down. That's when the rapture happens. The catching away, that's when you and I are going to be gone. If you miss the rapture.
Don't.
If you miss the rapture, don't. Can everybody say it one more time? If you miss the rapture, don't miss the rapture. But
if you do,
you better find your Bible, and you better find every video we got, and you better decide, I'm going to walk with God, because the Holy Spirit is going to be here, and he's going to help you win everybody around you to Jesus. And there's going to be lots of enemies. You may not make it clear to the midpoint of the tribulation, when there's going to be another rapture of the saints, that of those that are born again under the leadership of 144,000. There's going to be a catching away of the people who come to God. And I would imagine 5 minutes after the rapture, there's going to be a whole lot of people who find God that fast. Why? Because they're going to say, I missed the rapture. Some will commit suicide. That's a dumb thing to do. You don't want to do that. Some will just freak totally, completely out. Don't do that. Turn your life over to God. get your Bible out, find our videos, find everyone you can find and download them. I make these videos so that anybody can download them. You can put them right on your computer. Put them on your computer. Turn off all the internet so nobody can come in and take over your control of your computer. And then study and get everybody around you to study diligently so that you can stand up and you can stand against the Antichrist who's going to try to take over the whole world. Now, there'll be wicked people here in the United States of America, but you may find, because you don't see America much in the end times, you may find that the wicked people here say, I'm going to Europe to be near our Antichristial leader, you know, and take off. But, you know, anyways, where was I at? Oh, Ezekiel 38. Was I reading?
Yeah, we were going to Ezekiel.
If you haven't read Ezekiel 37 lately, read it. That's where the dry bones, where God said to Ezekiel, can these bones live? And Ezekiel's like, only you know, Lord. Only you know. And they did, a whole army. Ready? We're going to just read it. I'm making a very specific focus right now. I'm just going to read. Do you have the big cardboard that says only read? Here we go. Ezekiel 38. Now the word of the Lord came to me saying, son of man, set your face against Gog of the land of Magog, the prince of Rosh, Russia, Meshech, and Tubal. Tubal would be Turkey. And prophesy against them. That's all that land from Syria up. Right? Verse 3. And say, thus says the Lord God, behold, I'm against you, Gog, the prince of Rosh, Meshech, and Tubal. I will put a hook in your jaw and lead you out with all your horses, horsemen, splendidly clothed, a great company with bucklers and shields, all of them handling swords. Persia, Ethiopia, and Libya are with them, all of them with shield and helmet. Gomer and all its troops with the house of Togarma from the far north and all its troops, many people are with you. Prepare yourself and be ready, you and all your companies that are gathered about you, and be a guard for them. You see what God is saying? You can be a guard for them because I'm pulling all y'all together and wiping you out. After many days, you'll be visited. Last years, you will come into the land of those who brought back from the sword and gathered from many people on the mountains of Israel, which had long been desolate. They were brought out of the nations, and now all of them dwell safely. This is Israel, dwelling safely. Now, you and I are about ready to see it. Hal Lindsey didn't see it, but you and I are about ready to see it. Gaza and all of those people will be spread to somewhere else around the world because Gaza is not going to be in the hands of anybody but Israel from now on. I think Gaza's like 10 miles long, and it's only a couple miles wide. So all Israel has to do to defend that border is 2 miles. When Gaza is no longer Gaza and it belongs to Israel, they only got to defend 2 miles. Man. Yeah. And so far, Egypt hasn't said, I'm coming after you. Back to the Bible. You didn't hold up the sign. Verse 9, you will ascend coming like a storm. Did you notice that in Psalm 37, and it said, you're coming like a storm? Well, ever since I started listening to Hank Kuhneman and all of his prophecies about storms and wind and rain and snow and heat, it's like, pay attention to when you hear the word storm, because It can literally be a storm. The other night, man, there was so much wind out there. I was listening to a whole bunch of Hank Kuhneman's prophecy. I'm like, there's so much wind. It is slowing my semi, my 500-horse engine semi with no load. It's slowing me down.
You know, they just had a serious sandstorm out there, too, in Syria.
Did they?
Had to stop everything, yeah. I couldn't see.
I did not know that.
Yeah. Yesterday?
Covering your land like a cloud, you and all your troops, many peoples with you. Thus says the Lord God. On that day it will come to pass that the thoughts will arise in your mind and you will make an evil plan. Well, that's all they know how to do.
Yeah.
You will say, I will go up against a land of unwalled villages. I will go to a peaceful people who dwell safely, all of them dwelling without walls, having neither bars nor gates. Wow. This is not Iran leading this. What is amazing to me is you would think these people read the Bible and say, what does this mean? 12, read the Bible. Don't talk. To take plunder, to take beauty, to stretch out your hand against the waste places there that are again inhabited, and against the people gathered from the nations who have acquired livestock and goods who dwell in the midst of the land. Sheba, Dedan, the merchants of Tarshish, and all their young lions shall say to you, have you come to take plunder? Have you gathered your army to take booty, to carry away silver and gold, to take away livestock and goods, to take great plunder? Therefore, son of man, prophesy and say to Gog, thus says the Lord God, on that day, when my people Israel dwell safely, will you not know it? Then you will come from your place out of the far north, you and many peoples with you, all of them riding on horses, a great company and a mighty army. You'll come up with my people Israel like a cloud to cover the land. It'll be in the latter days that I will bring you against my land so that the nations may know me when I have hallowed in you, O Gog, when I am hallowed in you, O Gog, before their eyes. Thus says the Lord God, are you he of whom I've spoken in former days by my servants, the prophets of Israel, who prophesied for years in those days that I would bring you against them? I wouldn't stop reading. You were now talking. That can't be charged against me.
Yeah.
18. It'll come to pass at the same time, when God comes against the land of Israel, says the Lord God, that my fury will show in my face, for in my jealousy and in the fire of my wrath I have spoken. Surely in that day there shall be a great earthquake in the land of Israel, so that the fish of the sea, the birds of the heaven, the beasts of the field, all creeping things that creep on the earth, and all men who are on the face of the earth shall shake at my presence. It's going to be an earthquake. The whole world's going to see and feel and hear. But look at what it says. Of the earth shall shake at my presence. The mountains shall be thrown down. The steep places shall fall. Every wall shall fall to the ground. I will call for a sword against Gog through all my mountains, says the Lord God. Every man's sword will be against his brother. Now, people will be like, well, how in the world is that going to happen? We've seen battle after battle after battle in the Old Testament. If they just would read the book of history, the greatest history book there is, you would see that all through the history of the Old Testament, those people stood up and killed one another. Did it in Gideon, did it in Jehoshaphat, did it for Joshua, did it in all kinds of battles. They killed each other. Every man's sword will be against his brother. 22, I'll bring him to judgment with pestilence and bloodshed. I will rain down on him, on his troops, and on the many peoples who are with him, flooding rain, great hailstones, fire, and brimstone. Now, this is a literal storm. And it's not only going to be rain, it's going to be great hailstones. You and I see them show all the time, grapefruit-sized hail. Can you imagine anything larger than grapefruit-sized hail? Dr. Sutton tells us that's probably about a 75-pound piece of ice. Well, you can look out here and realize that if 75 chunks of ice are raining from heaven, it's going to demolish absolutely everything. 75-pound chunk of ice will hit this roof. We're on the second floor. There's a third-floor apartment up there. It'll hit that roof, and it'll be right on top of the people, because there's no way. That roof ain't going to handle a 75-pound piece of ice coming through it. And fire is going to be in it. And brimstone is going to be in it. Interesting. I will magnify myself and sanctify myself. I will be known in the eyes of many nations. Then they shall know that I am the Lord. There's going to be a great turning to God right here. 39. And you, son of man, prophesy against Gog and say, thus says the Lord God, behold, I'm against you, O Gog, prince of Rosh, Meshach, and Tubal. And I will turn you around and I will lead you on, bringing you up from the far north and bring you against the mountains of Israel. Remember, he's got him by a hook in his jaw. I will knock the bow out of your left hand and cause the arrows to fall out of your right hand. You shall fall upon the mountains of Israel, you and all your troops and the peoples who are with you. I will give you to the birds of prey every sort, to the beast of the field to be devoured. You shall fall on the open field, for I have spoken, says the Lord God. I will send fire on Magog and on those who live in security in the coastlands. Then they shall know that I am the Lord. I will make my holy name known in the midst of my people Israel, and I will not let them profane my holy name anymore. Then the nations shall know that I am the Lord, the Holy One of Israel. Surely it is coming, and it shall be done, says the Lord God. This is the day of which I have spoken. Then those who dwell in the cities of Israel will go out and set on fire and burn the weapons, both the shields and the bucklers, the bows and the arrows, the javelins and spears. And they will make fires with them for 7 years. All the fuel they need, all the stuff that they need, everything, steel, everything they need for 7 years. That's the tribulation. They will not take wood from the field or cut down any from the forest, because they will make fires with the weapons, and they will plunder those who plundered them and pillage those who pillage them, says the Lord God. Now watch this. Verse 11, it will come to pass in that day that I will give you Gog, a burial place there in Israel. The valley of those who pass by east of the sea, and it will obstruct travelers, because they will bury Gog and all his multitude. Therefore, they will call it the Valley of Haman Gog. For 7 months, the house of Israel will be burying them in order to cleanse the land. For 7 months. Indeed, all the people of the land will be burying, and they will gain renown for it on the day that I am glorified, says the Lord God. They will set apart men regularly employed with the help of a search party to pass through the land and bury those bodies remaining on the ground in order to cleanse it. At the end of 7 months, they will make a search. The search party will pass through the land, and when anyone sees a man's bones, he shall set up a marker by it, till the buriers have buried it in the valley of Haman Gog. The name of the city shall also be known, Hamanah. Thus they shall cleanse the land. And as for you, son of man, thus says the Lord God, speak to every sort of bird and every beast of the field. Assemble yourselves and come together from all sides to my sacrificial meal, which I am sacrificing for you, a great sacrificial meal on the mountains of Israel, that you may eat flesh and drink blood. You shall eat the flesh of the mighty, drink the blood of the princes of the earth, of rams and lambs, of goats and bulls, all of them fatlings of Bashan. You shall eat fat till you are full, and drink blood till you are drunk, and my sacrificial meal, which I am sacrificing for you, you shall be filled at my table with horses and riders, with mighty men, and with all the men of war, says the Lord God. Wow.
Wow.
Wow. 21. I will set my glory. I'm in Ezekiel 39, 21. I'll set my glory among the nations. All the nations shall see my judgment, which I have executed, and my hand, which I have laid on them. The house of Israel shall know that I am the Lord their God from that day forward. The Gentiles shall know that the house of Israel went into captivity for their iniquity, because they were unfaithful to me. Therefore I hid my face from them. I gave them into the hand of their enemies, and they all fell by the sword. According to their uncleanness and according to their transgressions, I have dwelt with them and hidden my face from them. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, now I will bring back the captives of Jacob, have mercy on the whole house of Israel, and I will be jealous for my holy name. See, this is one of the things that people don't do in our day. They want to grab three verses and say, there, I got the revelation of it. No, you got to read the whole, chapter. You got to read the whole context so you can see the whole picture that God is saying. And it's one of the things that, this modern day swipe, scroll, swipe, scroll, swipe, scroll, swipe, scroll. Get control of that thing. Wait, I don't want you to feel like I'm a man that's got it all mastered and I can say to you, what's wrong with you lowly peasants? Why you don't have this in control? There ain't a one of us that don't have to get control of this. Wait, every single day. Get used to saying, bam, you will not control me. Where's my Bible? And go find your Bible and pick it up and hold it in your hand and read some verses right out of your Bible. Why? What are you doing? You're saying, no, God, I'm going to put you first. I'm not putting that phone first. All of the updates Brother Amir's given us, I love it. I love it. I feel like I'm right on the forefront. Matter of fact, he does such a good job, I'm ready to move. Let's move to Israel. Sounds like it's going to be the safest place to be. But you better know you're called to be there, because if you got there and you wasn't called, man, that's going to be a rough trip right there. No, that'd be a rough trip. Back to the Bible.
I want to say this too in verse 23. I love that statement that says the Gentiles shall know that the house of Israel went into captivity for their iniquity. So he's saying learn from their mistakes.
Yeah.
Learn.
Well, and it says that the whole world will see it.
Because they were unfaithful to me. Yeah.
You know what's amazing?
Couldn't be any clearer.
Is it still in the midst of it? These people are going to follow the Antichrist.
Yeah.
Remember, there's 8 billion people on the earth right now. China's going to come at the end of the tribulation with a 200 million man army. That's huge. But everybody that misses the rapture in China, what's China got? China's got over 1 billion people in its population. So
the Lord will restore Israel.
I'm ready to read, but Sister Leanne still needs to preach.
No, I was helping you to continue reading. That's the next segment. The Lord will restore Israel.
I have lost my place. I don't even know where the verse is. Where is it? Where you at? 25. Therefore says the Lord God, I will bring back the captives of Jacob, have mercy on the whole house of Israel, and I will be jealous for my holy name. We studied it last night. You and I have salvation. Israel's brought back, not because of what I've done or they've done. Because he's gonna be faithful to his name and his word. After they have borne their shame and all their unfaithfulness in which they were unfaithful to me, when they dwell safely in their own land and no one made them afraid, when I brought them back from the peoples and gathered them from out of their enemies' land, I am hallowed in them in the sight of many nations. Then they shall know that I am the Lord their God who sent them into captivity among the nations, but also brought them back to their land and left none of them captive any longer. I will not hide my face from them anymore, for I shall have poured out my spirit on the house of Israel, says the Lord God. Wow, 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 wow. Now, that was a very quick, fast, blazing speed read through Psalm 18, Isaiah 17, Psalm 83, Ezekiel 37, 38, and 39, actually. There's so much more to do. Now, please keep saying, Father, help Pastor know what to do, because I really want to do Dr. Hilton Sutton again right now. But more than that, I really would like to have all of you actually have a syllabus. And since the last time we did it at the beginning of this year, I'm sure that Dr. Sutton's family has been working on the curriculum manual again, and we should be able to get them. They're about $25 a piece, but they're worth every minute of it, because what you can do is the first time you go through it, you can take notes. And then what? The next time you go through it, you can take notes in the same place you took the other one. And then you can take notes again in the same place you took the other ones, and pretty soon you've been through it three or four times, and you've got notes all the way through this book. It's great, because he leaves you lots of room on each page to write extra notes in for yourself. And I don't know why that one didn't have any notes, but you can see I have notes on that page. And this is notes of many years of going through Dr. Hilton Sutton's teaching on the book of Revelation. Now, I feel, that's a bad word. I feel is not a good way to describe it. I'm a little rusty on all of the fine-tuned verses of end times events right now, just because of what we've been doing here. But all we got to do is start this, and immediately it begin coming back to you. And I encourage you, the next time we go through this, tell your family, come study this with us, so that you have the ability to help them see who God is in their life, and to see that God has got this thing planned. And I say it to you guys all the time. Joel chapter 2 says, "My people shall never be put to shame." And then he says it again in verse 27, "My people shall never be put to shame." And then in Isaiah 61, he says, "For your shame, you will have double, and in your land, you will possess the double." That's God's promise to us. God is a God of promise and of blessing. And all he wants is that you would walk with him and live with him every day. Well, that's our time together today. That was really fast, but I think it's really good because we didn't have any interruptions in this and everything flowed smoothly. So we'll be able to share this with somebody else and say, hey, take a look and see what is being said here. This will help you understand some of the things of the end times and bring you peace. If you're concerned about the Antichrist chopping your head off in the street and all that, That's gonna make you very alarmed. And there are people, you know, you can't say that they're not in tribulation. Look at Israel. People were beheaded. Children were beheaded. But what you see is going to happen to Antichrist when he's reigning, that's not going to happen until after you and I are taken off this earth. You don't have to worry about the mark of the beast. That's not going to come till mid-tribulation of the great tribulation, the seven-year tribulation. That's when the mark of the beast comes out. And there'll be the rapture of the church at the midpoint of the tribulation, the rapture of those who were born again under the Great Tribulation. You can see that in Revelation chapter 5, where they sing the song. They're like, these are those who have washed their robes and made them white out of Great Tribulation. And they'll be in heaven, and they'll be catching away. Man, and yet to think there'll be some people that will live all the way through the tribulation, and they won't have turned their back on God, and they'll enter into the thousand-year reign of Jesus and say, who are these people who have just descended on us from heaven? And they're going to say, these are the holy ones. And that's going to be you and me who come back to rule and reign with Jesus for 1,000 years on this earth. Guys, this isn't, we're not about all done here. After the 7 years of tribulation, we are coming back with Jesus to this earth to live with Jesus for another 1,000 years. I know some of you are like, man, I just want to get to heaven because then it's all over and I don't ever have to worry about it ever again. I never have to put forth another effort. No. All those folks in heaven are coming back here to live for 1,000 years on this earth.
Hallelujah.
And Jesus will be reigning. Some of you,
amen.
Some of you will probably find you a new husband. Some of you might have a husband or wife in heaven. I'm not saying you got to find a new husband. I'm like, some people who aren't married, you're going to find a husband. There's a lot of people that say we're going to come back in glorified bodies so we won't be having children. And I'm not certain about that.
I am.
So anyways, now I'm going to make this go longer, and I don't want to do it because I want to be able to make it short, and let's get into the communion right now. Here we go. Ready? Because we do communion in every time we come together. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 23. Sister Leanne was busy working there, and she didn't put up the sign, just do communion. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. If you've never received communion online, this is the day you found us, and you're going to receive it with us right now because it is the answer for your life every day. I encourage you, literally. You can find it on our website. There's a communion tab where you can go there, and it's laid out right there for you to read and worship the Lord with it. Let's pause for a minute. Father, in Jesus' name. As Jesus said, with great desire, I have desired to eat this last Passover with the disciples. With great desire, now we pause, not just for a little sip of juice and a cracker. We pause to commune with you. We pause to commune with you. To worship of you through your word, through prayer, and through receiving of these wonderful elements in Jesus' mighty name. 1 Corinthians 11:23. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the same night in which he was betrayed, took the bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it, and he said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, after supper, he also took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. As often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Verse 26. For as often as you eat this bread, and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes, his redemptive work. Here's the process. Verse 28. Let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. 1 John chapter 4, verse 17. Love, God expected among us in this, that we might have boldness in the day of judgment. Why? Because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love. Perfect love casts out fear because torment. He who fears has not been made perfect in love. And now we're going to pray the prayer of salvation. Does it matter who you are? Does it matter where you're from? What denominational background you come from? Remember, in God, there's only one body. There's only one Lord. There's only one Savior. There's only one Spirit. And there's only one Father. And all of our denominational divisions is just man trying to figure out how to live together. When you come to the body of Christ in communion, drop all that stuff. Don't come in the name of the Baptists, the Methodists, the Charismatics, the Pentecostals, the Catholics. Don't come in the name of anybody. Come in the name of Jesus. He's your Lord and Savior. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Read this prayer with us here off the screen today. And if you pray this and mean this with your whole heart, when you're finished, you will be saved, born again, right with God. Here we go. I thank you, God, my Father, that in the fullness of time, you sent the fullness of Jesus to redeem my life by his blood from destruction. Thank you, Jesus, for giving yourself for me so that I can be made complete in you every day. According to John 3:16, I choose to believe you are the only begotten Son of God, and you rose again on the third day. Reach out your hands and say, I receive you, Jesus, into my life. I receive all of your grace and mercy, of your love and righteousness,
filling
every part of my life with all the fullness of God. Thank you that none of my sins are imputed against me. I am now a new creation in Christ Jesus. Fill me and baptize me with the Holy Spirit and fire so that I live in power, understand the word of God, pray in my heavenly language, and live a successful life as a believer every day. Surround me with godly people who will help me know how to walk with you every day. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And amen. Welcome to the family of God. It says, pause and shout. What is that all about, Pastor? What you're experiencing going on inside of you right now is not a feeling. It's an experience of God's wonderful love and his mercy and his grace. Your darkness turns to light. Fear turns to faith. You are made into the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And you are an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus. You can find that in 2 Corinthians 5 through 21. Take a screenshot of this. Romans 8, 14 through 17. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Those are all the verses, the references of what we just referred to. God just came to live within you. He just came to live within you. Because you said, I receive you, Jesus, into my life. There's my email address, hgpreacherman@gmail.com. Text or email me and say, Pastor, I just made this decision for Jesus. Help me walk with God. And I'll send you some videos that will help you and will guide you into the depth of understanding of who God is. There's our website, samueljcottle.com. We are continually adjusting that and changing everything. We've got to update. It's going to actually just take a big old huge overhaul. So just keep going to us because you're going to find more and more there. On all of our stuff, make sure you like, subscribe, and hit the bell. Because that way you know every time we're there. We don't get no benefit of likes and subscribes and bells. We just want you to be able to be connected to what it is that we're doing in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's receive our communion elements together. There we go. Pray this prayer. Jesus, as you instructed your disciples, I receive these elements today. This bread representing your broken body and this juice representing your blood poured out for me. I do this in remembrance of you and all you did for me. Pray this out loud. Jesus, you were wounded for my transgression. You were bruised for my iniquity. The chastisement for my peace is on you, Lord. And by your stripes, I am healed. In my spirit, in my soul, and in my body. In my mind, in my will. In my emotion, there is nothing missing and nothing broken. All trauma is removed from my life now. Every joint supplying in my body, from your broken body, Jesus, in the body of Christ, in my community, and around the world, wherever you send me for this prayer, I receive the bread, your body broken now. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's receive his body broken. Thank you, Lord, that you endured the cross, despising the shame. And you did it all for us. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, Lord. Now, I bless this fruit of the vine in obedience to your word, in remembrance of your blood shed, to provide redemption's price and righteousness for me. By your blood, Jesus, I have been redeemed. By your blood, Jesus, I have reconciliation with God, my Father. By your blood, Jesus, every sin has been placed in remission in my life. I am a new creation, recreated in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away, and now all things are made new. By the blood of Jesus, I come boldly to the throne room of grace, where I find mercy, grace, and help for my assignment, my dominion mandate on this earth. By the word of my testimony, the accuser of the brethren is cast down forever, and there is no condemnation in my life. By your blood, Jesus, every plague, every curse must pass over and cannot be on me or my family. By your blood, Jesus, my conscience is purged, my robes are made white, and I will always be the glorious church without spot, wrinkle, or any other blemish. When you come for me, I receive the fruit of the vine now, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Let's receive. I like my communion cup. Number one, because it doesn't give you enough to wet your lip with an actual drink. Jesus said drink all of it. And this cup is, though your sins were like scarlet, red, they shall be white as snow when you add the blood of Jesus. Right out of Isaiah chapter 1. And Solo made it just for me. Put it in every store, so no matter where you go, you always have communion cups. I mean, it used to be you had to try to find a Christian bookstore so you could find a little communion cup, and it's like, wait a minute. That is not that difficult. Thank you very much, Solo. You made it just for me. In Jesus' mighty name. Now, we're glad that you're here and that you're with us. I want to say one more thing here. All of these words, did I stop to share? Of the, what did I just do?
You're here.
All right. All of these words in that prayer of communion, are actual verses of scripture. So as you go through it, take a screenshot. If you would like to have this email, we can send you the whole prayer in an email. Because some of you, when the battle gets strong and the devil's fighting you with fiery darts, go right into this. Matter of fact, take communion. You can get it off the website too, right? Take communion. But learn this prayer. Memorize it. Get the revelation of it. If you get the revelation, you don't have to worry about memorization, because the revelation will produce it out of your innermost being. So when the enemy's fighting you, you can say, there's no curse. By the blood of Jesus, every sin is wiped away. I'm a new creature. When you get that down inside of you, and you're living out there in your daily life, you're going to be able to take that and use it against the enemy, and it's going to give you great victory in your daily Christian life. Now, I've done real good, and I don't want this video to be any longer, so I'm going to bring it short because I want to talk and I want to say all kinds of things. The fact that it needs to have, this is what I have to say to all of you that joined us today. Remember this. We'll be back. But we love you.
We love you.
And God loves you. And Jesus is Lord. If you've got a question, send me an email, hgpreacherman@gmail.com. Call you blessed. See you soon. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah! We did it. I know. Still on with these guys. Love you, Dan, Gwen, Sister Phyllis.
You got a second to talk?
Hang on just a second. Brother Blog Talk, we love you guys. Call you blessed in Jesus' mighty name.